You've just joined the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. The views and opinions expressed are strictly those of the host or their guests. Visit us in the interactive chat room at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Welcome to the Gunmetal Armory. Here's your host, Dane D.
Good evening, Team Gunmetal. Now, I'm not 100% sure if anybody can hear me because I kind of went live a little bit before I should have right now. And things are a little bit strange at the moment. So, due to the time difference in where I am here in Arizona and the time difference on Blog Talk Radio versus the time difference as to where James and G-Man are, it looks like the time change got messed up. Now, as we all know, here in Arizona, none of us actually observe daylight savings time. It's one of those things that it does get kind of annoying sometimes because you're never sure if if you're going to actually have the same time as everybody else, but it is one of those things that eventually you do get through and it's not too big of a deal. That being said, it can be a big pain in the butt. Anyways, so I guess what we're going to do is do our best here and see what we have. Now, one of the other problems I'm running into tonight is the fact that I don't have anyone in the chat room at the moment because I am basically talking to myself. I should have gone live about an hour and a half from now, but for some odd reason, it chose to connect me now. So I'm just kind of rolling with it and seeing how things go. I guess we'll see where it goes. We'll see where the night takes us. What I think I will do is try to call and see if I can actually hear the show just to make sure that I am actually live. So if you guys will bear with me for just one moment here, I will see if we can actually hear the show. One second here. What do we got? 347 202-0228, which for those of you that don't know, that is the show, that is the studio show number, for those of you that don't know. Okay, so one of the things you can do while you're actually waiting for me to get rocking and rolling here is you can hang out and read all about individual first aid kits. No, I'm just kidding. I can actually help you with that. But first, one thing I would like to do is go over some of the actual specifics because I did just see that clearly I am recording. I can hear it on my own phone. So I think we're going to be okay. All right. Okay, Team Gunmetal. Sorry about that. Tonight, we're going to talk about individual first aid kits. We're going to talk about, IFAC, it stands for Individual First Aid Kit. We're going to talk about the components inside of them. We'll do a giveaway tonight, but for those of you guys that hear this later on, you can actually do the giveaway. You can just email me with I'm in, or I can just put you in the giveaway. It's not a big deal because right now it's very difficult for anybody to, send me an I'm in if they don't know this is going on. Again, to you guys that are going to hear this late, I am so, so sorry. I did not know this was going to happen this way, but here we are. We just roll with it, right? Let's see here. But as far as the giveaway goes, we will be shipping out the gear a little bit later on past December because shipping anything in December is a crazy person's game. I'm not dealing with that. We will definitely not be worrying about that for now. Remember, like we talked about last week, be on the lookout for changes coming up soon to Prepper Broadcasting and the Gunmetal Armory. You're likely to see some new and really exciting stuff happening, and I really want you guys to be a part of this, okay? Also, feel free to go over and check out the new PrepperBroadcasting.com site. It's been revamped, retuned, and it's set up for battle. So, kidding, of course, but it looks amazing, so go check it out. Also, if you have any questions, gun questions, if you want to sponsor Prepper Broadcasting, you want to sponsor Gunmetal Armory, feel free to email me at gunmetalarmory@gmail.com. And again, if you want to enter the contest for tonight, go ahead and do it now. I did get everyone's entry last week. If you get an email from me, you won, okay? If you don't get an email, you didn't win, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't play. I can tell you right now, guys, there aren't a whole lot of people playing, and this is free. It's completely free. I don't charge you a dime to ship this to you. You can ask anybody out there that's gotten something from me, especially if you come in the chat room. Ask them. I didn't ask them for a dime. It's completely free, okay? Okay, anyways, moving on. So Christmas is coming up very, very soon, and there's a lot of gift ideas out there. So how about our buds over at Shomertech? You know those guys. I love them. They're one of my favorite groups out there. I was taking a look at their mini shim decoders. It's a very inexpensive product. It doesn't cost a whole lot. I think they're like, I don't know, $7 or $8, something like that. But they're a great addition to any covert kit or survival kit. They actually work for picking padlocks with number wheels. I'm sure you guys have seen those, like the little TSA number wheels or whatever that are on padlocks. These decoder picks actually work for picking those. And the mini shim decoder is actually a part of an overrun from a recent military contract. So, of course, you can pick up what is left over. It says this tool can decode various combination locks, shim open some types of padlocks, handcuffs, and zip ties. It's made from a super thin stainless steel. And remember to support the tool between your thumb and your forefinger when inserting it. That prevents it from flexing or bending, anything like that. The overall length is 2 inches. It is 0.5 inches wide or a half inch wide, and it's only 6/1000ths of an inch thick. It is not very thick at all. It is crazy thin because it is actually a handcuff shim, or it's actually a padlock shim. So that's why it's so thin. It's sold in sets of two that's actually made in the USA. And of course, just like everything else, you can get yourself one of these or a set of these by heading over to www.shomer-tech.com. That's shomer-tech.com. Okay. If you want to get something else for Christmas, if you don't want to go with that, you can also get something else. Obviously, you can get a million different things. But if you want to get something different, you can always go to our boys over at LA Police Gear. Everybody knows I love LA Police Gear, okay? If you want to get something cool from them, check out, you can get the LA Police Gear. They have their operator lights. I know I talked about those last week. But I only mentioned one of their lights. There's another light that I've actually had the privy to get my hands on, to get my hands on just recently. And I can personally attest to the quality of these lights and the brightness of these lights. I've handled a few of these lights myself. The one I'm referring to this time is actually the LA Police Gear Slide Rail XWL Weapon Light. It's actually one of my personal favorites. It's only $59.99. It's really hard to go wrong with something that's only $60, as far as a weapon light goes anyway. I don't like to use the word weapon because the NRA beats it into your head to never use that when you're in their classes. So I don't necessarily like to use that word, but it is available. Anyways, the LAPG or LA Police Gear Slide Rail XWL weapon light is amazing. So if you get your chance to take a look at it, you can head on over to www.lapolicegear.com. Go up to the search bar, type in Slide Rail, SLIDERAIL, XWL weapon light, or just go up to the brands button and click on the LA Police Gear brand, and you will actually be able to get your hands on it without a problem. You'll be able to find it inside the lights area, okay? All right, that's a couple of things for Christmas, guys. Now, I also want to remind you, our Second Amendment rights are under attack right now. I don't know if any of you guys are aware of this, or, you know, if you're keeping track of this, but this is the Gunmetal Armory, and I want to make it very clear to you guys that the Second Amendment is no joke, and that we are going to lose it if we don't defend it, okay? I want to remind you guys to go over and donate to the Second Amendment Foundation, or www.saf.org. Donate what you can. If you want to be a life member, you can use $150 and donate that and become a life member. Or if you got $5, donate $5. If you got a dollar, donate a dollar. Whatever you can do. If there was 100,000 of us that all donated $1, that would help. I hope you guys understand where I'm coming from. Oh, I just saw somebody call in. Okay, I see you, buddy. I'll be there in a little bit right after the break, okay? All right. Let's see here. Speaking of that, I have a special guest tonight that is actually going to be joining me. I'm going to bring him in just after the break. I'm going to do the product pick, and I'm going to basically cut off the product pick right in the middle because I want his opinion on it, okay? But back to the Second Amendment Foundation. Don't forget to donate over to the Second Amendment Foundation, okay, guys? If we don't, like I said, we're going to lose this battle, okay? The Second Amendment has been treated like a half-assed right for way too long, and we got to do something. We got to do something pretty quick here, okay? All right, let's move on to the product pick, and this is the one that I'm going to be bringing in my boy for here, okay? The product pick tonight is actually called the Mojo Dart. It's actually a chest needle. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. I'm going to describe it a little bit. We'll take a break, and then we will come back in, and I'll bring in my guest and ask him his opinion on the Mojo Dart, and then we'll get into the actual meat of the show, okay? All right, so the Mojo Dart is basically a sterile 14-gauge tension needle with a thick-walled catheter, a thick-walled uniform catheter. They vary in length by a tiny bit here and there, but generally they're about 3 1/4 inches long. The design, actually, the way that the catheter is designed and with the needle inside is designed to minimize the risk of collapse in the intercostal space, and it's the need for additional decompression attempts, okay, according to the website. It says the SureGrip hub ensures stability in low light tactical situations, and the case, it actually comes in this tan plastic case. The rugged case, it says, was designed for easy one-hand opening and doubles as a sharps container for patient and practitioner safety, because you got to remember, you got this 3 1/4 inch long 14-gauge needle that could easily stick you in the finger right after you were done pushing the catheter into someone's intercostal space. Something you got to keep in mind. So it's great to have that case that you can actually put it back into after you're done. The needle itself, not the catheter. It's great that you can put that needle back into that sharps container after you're done with it, okay? Some of the product attributes, according to this, it's Berry Amendment and trade compliant. It fits in a military IFAC low-volume kit. It doubles the case, of course, doubles the sharps container. It's got a patented sterilization plug. It's got the thick-walled uniform catheter, as we spoke of. The Mojo Dart itself fits really snugly into the case, so it won't fall out. it's easy to grab with your medical gloves or your I think most guys use nitrile these days, but I think there's still a couple of cavemen that use latex. I'm kidding, of course. It says it's really easy to use them in a low light situation, and it's got an ergonomic sure grip hub. Okay. There's clinical benefits to it. The FDA registered its ISO 13485. It's GMP compliant, sterile single patient use. Of course, you wouldn't want to use this thing 5 or 10 times. That would be a little bit weird. For you preppers out there, this is Prepper Broadcasting Network. It's got a 6-year shelf life if it remains sealed. The unit weight is only a 0.5 ounce, which is not much. And it's a purpose-built decompression needle. It's not a repurposed IV catheter. It's not something that you're going to use over again, or it's not something that's been repurposed for something else. It is designed to be used for one purpose and one purpose only. Okay? Don't know if you could use it for self-defense, but hopefully we will never find out. Again, 100% USA source, manufactured and assembled. Okay. It's a 3.25 inch long, 14 gauge. The unit dimension is 6.25 inch high by 0.88 inches wide by a half inch diameter. Okay. All right. Again, that is the Mojo Dart. Now, there are a few different places you can pick this up, but I will talk about that when I get back from the break and I bring my special guest online, okay? We're going to take a break real quick, and we will be right back right after this.
The ultimate wood-burning, collapsible survival and camping stove just got better. Designed for the prepper, survivalist, or weekend adventurer, the Under 6 Elite and the new Under 2.2 Elite Survival Stoves by SurvivalStoveWorks.com can cook meals in under 6 minutes. Cook your meals with just a few twigs and sticks, and without all the smoke and black soot. The Under 6 Elite weighs under 6 pounds, weighing even less than new 2.2 Elite. Each of these high-quality survival stoves can be assembled in under a minute. Made right here in the USA, these stoves, even with all the extras, are still easy to store and transport in their own carrying cases. On sale now, with free shipping. Watch the videos, see both in action. Then, get yours now at SurvivalStoveWorks.com. SurvivalStoveWorks.com.
Have you visited SurvivalGearSystems.com? At SGS, we focus on and deliver today's most innovative high-tech survival gear and complete survival systems. Survival Gear Systems, the ultimate resource for individuals and families who want to get the information they need to develop their life survival plans and plan for adventures. At Survival Gear Systems, we offer not only individualized products, but also complete survival packages ranging from basic to extreme. Our survival systems include products recommended by our trained survival experts, including food, water filtration, power sources, communication devices, emergency gear, survival shelter, survival clothing, and more. These systems are revolutionary in preparing families for catastrophic events without the need to do the research or shopping around themselves. We do the work for you. Visit us and experience SurvivalGearSystems.com.
And now, we return to the Gunmetal Armory.
Okay, everybody, we are back, and I am here with Miles from Archangel Dynamics. You guys are down in Tucson, right? Miles, are you with me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, man.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir,
can you hear you.
And yes, we are down in Tucson.
Nice, very nice. Can you tell us a little bit about Archangel Dynamics first so the listeners can know better what you guys do?
Yeah, so Archangel Dynamics is a small business I started a few years ago. We focus on, among other things, training and preparing the prepared citizens. So we offer firearms education. We offer medical education, which is really kind of our specialty. And we also distribute for H&H, North American Rescue, and a couple of other companies. We make our own in-house trauma kits that we sell. We have a
nice
whole line of those and some ones we're going to release after the new year to expand it. And we also sell some pre-made stuff from H&H.
That is awesome, man. So I told the listeners before I took a break, I'm sure you heard me, I was talking about the Mojo Dart. I know there's a couple types of these darts out there. What do you think of the Mojo Dart? Can you tell us a little bit about it from a medical's perspective, from a medic's perspective?
Right. So just a background for your listeners. I am currently employed as a critical care flight medic. The company I work for does a fair amount of scene flights where we would land on, you know, sick people, car accidents, what have you. And we also do ICU to ICU and hospital transfers. And I've been in EMS for almost 12 years now.
Wow.
So the Mojo Dart, to really get into that, I would highly encourage your listeners, if you check us out on Instagram, I actually just finished a series on chest trauma. I might be adding a fourth one to it, but I wrote a good series explaining what a tension pneumothorax is, and I also discussed hemothorax and a couple of other things in the other post. But the idea behind the Mojo Dart and products like it is that we're trying to decompress a chest cavity that's tensioning. So what can happen is that something outside the body penetrates the chest, so a knife or a bullet or something like that, or sometimes these types of injuries can happen spontaneously. If there's an overpressure wave, if you fall, have a fall injury, if you slam your chest into a steering wheel, what can happen is that the lining along the chest is called the pleural lining. That can breach, and
okay.
air will start building up between the lung and the chest wall. As that happens, it starts getting harder and harder to breathe. You can't oxygenate the blood. It'll start compressing on the heart and great vessels, and you'll go into cardiac arrest. And it can happen in minutes in some cases. So it is definitely important to be trained on this kind of stuff and to understand how to use it. So the Mojo Dart, I have not personally used this product. I sell the North American Rescue ARS needle. That's also the same needle I carry on the helicopter. And I also sell the TyTech TPAK on our website. And they're all basically the same. And I would even venture to believe they're probably made by the same manufacturer. But the thing I do like about all of these is they all have one thing in common. They have a built-in sharps container. And I heard you mentioning that right before
yeah.
the break. And that's pretty critical. You know, in a really busy, hectic environment when you've got, you know, especially if you have more than one patient you're dealing with, or even if you just have one but they're extremely critical and you have a lot going on, how these work is there's a needle with a catheter over that, and once you enter the chest space, that needle comes back out, the catheter stays in there, and will decompress the air that's built up in that chest cavity. Well, you now have this gigantic needle that you need something to do with, and we actually carry 10-gauge on the aircraft, which are even wider than these. These are 14-gauge. And no matter who you buy these from, whether it's the Mojo or the T-Pack or the North American Rescue, and there's a couple of others on the market, that was a really brilliant idea to include that sharps container packaging, because then you just drop the needle right back into it, and you're not going to risk poking yourself.
Nice.
Yeah, and
so,
again, it's really hard to say that any one of these would be more superior to the other. They all, about 5 or 6 years ago, when these started becoming more available to the civilian market, before that you had to have a prescription to have these, but the war in Iraq and Afghanistan has really driven research on management of tension pneumothorax, and they've worked a lot of the kinks out. I remember when we deployed to Iraq, we had basically, I heard you mention earlier, you know, basically we had repurposed IV catheters, and they weren't long enough to reach through the chest. I mean, you're decompressing a guy who's 240 pounds and 10% body fat. That's a lot of muscle you've got to drive that needle through. So, you know, that's one of the reasons these needles are getting longer and longer. And the ones we're going to be switching over to after the new year are actually 10-gauge by 5.5 inches.
Whoa.
Which I'm not sure if those are going to be available to the civilian market anytime soon. But, you know,
yeah.
three and a half to 3.25 in that ballpark seems to get the largest amount of the patient population. So they got that right for sure. It was long enough. I'm looking at their website here. I can tell from this catheter design, I'm familiar with the manufacturer. It's going to have a good quality wall to it, so it's going to resist kinking.
Nice.
The other important thing to remember is that decompressing a chest is really a stopgap measure. Ultimately, this patient needs to see a surgeon more than likely. We will often place chest tubes in these patients just because, you know, over time, these needles, it doesn't matter who manufactures them, all that musculature in our chest is going to clamp down. which is why sometimes we have to re-needle a couple of times before we throw that tube in. But this is a good quality catheter I'm looking at here. It looks like it's got a nice taper on the end, so it's not going to hang up going into the chest wall. Good piece of kit. And again, I really cannot emphasize how much I like that it comes in its own rugged sharps container of a carrying package. I'm not sure who spearheaded that. It may have been North American Rescue back in the mid-2000s when they released the ARS, but all the other companies have picked up on it, and it's a lifesaver. You know, it really prevents injury to the responder. It's a really good idea.
So would you recommend having one of these for an IFAC? And that is something we are going to get into for the listeners. We're going to talk about IFACs, but is this something you would recommend for an IFAC?
So this is definitely something that's a little bit of a touchy subject area, and it's going to depend on a lot of things, where your listeners live, what your scope of training is. If I were to needle decompress somebody on the side of the road and I was off duty, I have the ability to contact my physician and tell them what's going on and more than likely be authorized to do it. Physician that oversees us as flight medics. It's not a very hard skill to learn. But there definitely is a lot that can go wrong with the skill. I have seen, in fact, I'm going to be posting sometime next week, I found this x-ray of somebody that got their landmarks wrong and actually drove the needle right into someone's left ventricle.
Oh,
no. If you look at where you're putting this needle in, it's supposed to go in the midclavicular line in the middle of the collarbone. But if you're a little bit too close to that sternum, you can easily hit the heart. You can hit an aorta. You can hit a pulmonary vessel.
Wow.
But, I mean, if we're talking grid down, SHTF, end of the world, and you've gotten the training on how to use it, I don't see why not own one. In a first world society, in a grid up society, you never know who's going to be responding. You might have a police officer that shows up with some advanced training. You may have an ambulance crew that shows up. Having that you can hand to one of us is certainly not a bad idea either.
So it might be something you could put in your apocalyptic medical kit or something like that. It definitely doesn't hurt to have one, but actually using it may not be the best idea for someone without training.
Exactly. And we do cover this in our tactical medicine class, but we do still make it pretty clear, you know, hey, if you're not authorized to do this, because even this is technically a skill that paramedics and flight nurses and physicians are really the only people that are supposed to be doing it, because it is a – it's a very small likelihood that you can get your landmarks wrong, but if you do, the outcome could be catastrophic.
Wow.
You know, again, it's not a hard skill to learn, but if you were to needle decompress somebody and you weren't trained and licensed in that skill and you didn't have a doctor backing you up when you did that skill and something bad happened, I would just hate to have one of your listeners get sued over it. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
But,
okay, so
you know,
for the grid down
zombie apocalypse kit, go for it.
Okay, so if they want to pick up one of these ARS needles or something to put in their zombie kit or to put in their apocalyptic medical kit, or even just to have in their IFAC to hand to someone with a higher level of medical knowledge, they can get them off of Archangel Dynamics, can't they?
That's correct. If you go to archangeldynamics.com, you click on shop, and then the store is broken down into medical kits, medical supplies, training courses, so on and so forth when your listeners go check it out. But if you click on medical supplies and you click on chest seals and tension pneumothorax, currently I only have the ARS needle on there. I'm going to be getting a new shipment of the T-Packs in a couple of days. Those will be going up.
Nice.
But, yeah,
okay.
They, you know, depending on the model that's on the web store, they run between $12 and $15, and it's for something that's going to have a good long shelf life and is so well thought out and designed and is relatively inexpensive. There's no reason not to have one on hand.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's the product pick this week. So I think that we should go ahead and we should move into the actual Gunmetal Armory itself. I'm going to go ahead and open the vault door here. One moment. There we go. Vault door is open. Let's see what we got here. So we're going to talk about individual first aid kits and first aid kit contents. That's what we're going to go into. And that's why we brought you in, Miles, because obviously you know your stuff, you know what you're talking about. So can you explain to the listener real quick what's a basic individual first aid kit? What is in it and what is each piece used for or something like that?
All right. So IFAC, obviously it's an acronym, and that's just because in the military and in the civilian sector, we can't do anything without an algorithm. But what that stands for is individual first aid kit. When the military first started looking into this back in the early 90s, a research study that now has become the Tactical Combat Casualty Care Program basically found that there were three leading causes to death on the battlefield, and that was uncontrolled hemorrhage, airway obstruction, and tension pneumothorax. Now, we already talked about the tension pneumothorax and the chest decompression needle. But what's interesting is that everything that happens in military medicine will often find its way out in the civilian sector. So on the ambulance, on the helicopter, we have a lot of the same equipment that I was using in Iraq in the mid-2000s. So the idea behind the IFAC is it's something that you would carry on your individual kit. And the military's purpose behind the IFAC is the word individual tells you this is for me and me only. It's not for me to treat other people with. Now, outside of a military setting, because I carry an IFAC in my car, if I come up on a car accident, I'm absolutely going to help somebody using the components in that kit. But I do recommend everybody should have one that's just for them. You know, I have one. My wife has one. I have ones for the kids. I have one for our dog. I put together some for my parents, for my sister, my brother-in-law.
Wow.
They're small. They can be tossed into a range bag. In the car, I carry an IFAC, and then I also have a more extensive trauma kit that has a lot more of that critical care stuff in it. But that IFAC is really designed for that first 5 minutes at the point of injury. Uncontrolled bleeding, tension pneumothorax, and airway obstruction. And those are mirrored in civilian medicine, too. Hemorrhage is the leading cause of death and trauma. The Stop the Bleed campaign, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with it. If they're not, definitely go check it out. Say what we will about President Obama, he was absolutely right on with that program when he funded it and got it moving with his administration. Mm-hmm. But the idea is this, right? Hemorrhage will kill you the fastest. You can bleed to death in as little as 3 minutes if you hit a major artery. You hit your femoral artery in your leg, you can bleed out in 3 minutes. So what are you going to do if you come across an injury like that? I can tell your listeners, you call 911, the ambulance hasn't even left the fire station in 3 minutes. The first minute you're on hold, they're trying to find out where you are and what resources to send. Another minute goes by, they dispatch us. Another minute goes by, we're on the road. Well, if you don't have the tools with you and the training already ahead of time, this is where we're really pushing trauma care right now and why I started my company is I'm very passionate about people being proactive about their survival and about their preparedness. Like I said, if in 3 minutes you can bleed to death and in 3 minutes we're probably not even on the way to the call or maybe have just left the fire station, if you can empower yourself with a trauma kit and some training and education, you can absolutely save a life. And I see this all the time. You know, we'll come up on car wrecks in isolated areas and people are controlling bleeding or, you know, they're holding someone's airway open because they're unconscious. I mean, it's not hard to learn these skills, and it's not expensive to buy these kits, but the cost of not having that knowledge and training, if it were a loved one, would be pretty severe.
Now,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I'm a range safety officer at a shooting range, and I carry an IFAC as well. But mine may not be as extensive as some. What's in mine is a pair of gloves, a CPR mask, a quick clot combat gauze, and a SWAT T tourniquet. Is that about normal for an IFAC, or is there other stuff in a normal IFAC?
So your IFAC there really hits all the big stuff. So you've got gloves to protect yourself, which absolutely people are gross. Let's just leave it at that. You want to protect yourself. So you got the gloves. You've got some hemostatic gauze to control bleeding that won't respond to a tourniquet or bleeding in an area that you can't put a tourniquet on, like an armpit or a groin.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the CPR mask. I'm not going to discourage you from having that, simply because not every injury is, or not every emergency is a trauma. Some people do legitimately just go into a cardiac arrest and fall down in front of you. But in a traumatic setting, CPR by itself is I'm not going to tell your listeners not to do CPR. You need blood in the body for CPR to pump the blood, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But still definitely having a CPR mask, especially as a range safety officer. What happens if one of your students is running around and keels over and has no pulse, is not breathing? You got to do what you got to do. And then the SWAT T. You know, there are only three tourniquets that we recommend at Archangel Dynamics, and that's because these are the only three tourniquets that have any real science behind them. So these three tourniquets are the North American Rescue Combat Application Tourniquet, the CAT. And I will tell you, listeners, please, please, please only buy from an authorized distributor. And I don't even care if it's not from me, but buy from an authorized distributor, because if you see these for anything less than about $30, I 100% guarantee you that they're fake and people have died because they have bought these on eBay or they've bought these on Amazon from an unscrupulous seller that bought them from China, and they're knockoffs and they're not approved for use. So please buy them from an authorized distributor. The next one that we recommend is the SOFT tourniquet by Tactical Medical Solutions. It's very similar. It's a windlass type tourniquet. They're both very similar in how they're applied. There are some differences, but they're easy to learn. And the third one that we recommend is the SWAT T. And a lot of people kind of put their nose up at the SWAT T because, oh, it's not recommended by the Committee of Tactical Combat Casualty Care. Well, first off, there's a lot of politics that goes into who and who is not approved by that. And second off, numbers do not lie. 30,000 applications, all of which successfully controlled bleeding, means that this tourniquet is effective. And if you go to our website, I linked to the studies. There are numerous studies showing that it's as effective as the CAT with less pressure and less pain for the patient, showing that they're more effective in some patient populations, like pediatrics with small extremities, showing that they're effective in canines or their tapered extremities. So a SWAT T is definitely a good option. So with your kit, you've covered bleeding, and you could even treat a pneumothorax, or at least start to treat it. The first thing we do with a penetrating chest injury is cover that hole. Well, if you look at the plastic packaging on your SWAT T or on your combat gauze, that would create an occlusive dressing. You could just hold that right up to that hole. It's not as ideal as a purpose-built adhesive one, but you know what? Now you got one more thing your IFAC is capable of you may not have even thought about.
No, I didn't. I didn't think about that. That's awesome, man. That's way cool.
You just put a little tape over it, and then when we show up, we can make it look all pretty.
That's awesome.
So IFAX, right? So your kit, I would call that a bleeding control kit. And there's a lot of different ones on the market. I actually sell one called the TACVAC, and it's essentially the same kit. It comes with a SWAT tee. We did not include hemostatic gauze because we wanted to keep the cost as low as possible. The idea behind wound packing is that you want to rebuild that cavity. You know, for years, if you've ever done like a Boy Scouts or, you know, a Red Cross first aid class, it was, just grab some gauze and apply pressure. Well, that doesn't work when a bullet enters your body and rips up muscle tissue and you now have a giant cavity. So whether it's standard gauze or quick clot or Celox or whatever it is, you're packing that into the source of the bleed and then packing into the wound so that when you apply pressure outside that injured extremity, all that gauze pressure points that wound into that pressure into the source of the bleed. So our little kit has the SWAT tee, has some H&H flat folded compressed gauze, and it has a pair of gloves. So it's essentially the same idea. Super small, super compact, super affordable. You can throw it in your back pocket. And
I love
bleeding control, if all you're going to do to carry first aid supplies is bleeding control, go for it. As I've said before earlier in this podcast, uncontrolled bleeding is the number one cause of death and hemorrhage. It'll take you, we have a 3-hour class called Bleeding Control for the Injured, and then 3 hours, people that have no medical background at all. We're talking pastors, school teachers, soccer moms, leave that class empowered with knowledge on how to apply a tourniquet. So that's a perfect little kit, especially in a setting where bleeding may be an issue. If you want to expand on it a little bit more, a full-size IFAC will build on that a little bit. So our Generation 2 IFAC, which is on the web store, has a CAT tourniquet, has a pair of gloves. Again, we need to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
We have a vented chest seal twin pack. So a lot of times when bullets enter the body, they will pass through. We call that a pass-through injury. So this is a two-pack. So if you get hit in the chest, you can put a seal on the entrance wound and a seal on the exit wound. It comes with two packs of compressed gauze. It comes with a compressed ACE wrap. Comes with a pressure bandage, an H&HH bandage. And it also comes with a roll of tape, just because that has a million and one uses. We include a clever cutter to cut away clothing to get to an injury site. And as an upgrade, you can also get a decompression needle added to this kit as well.
Oh, very nice.
So that covers
That
covers your big three killers. That covers hemorrhage through the tourniquet, the gauze, the pressure bandage, and the ACE wrap. That all covers hemorrhage. It covers airway problems with the nasal airway. It covers pneumothorax with the chest seal. And if you get the needle as an add-on, it covers that as well, so you can decompress that pneumo. That IFAC is that first 5 minutes of care of a critically injured patient. It's not designed to be, you know, a hospital in a backpack. It's designed to just stabilize those big three killers right there. Even if all you're concerned with is bleeding control, that's an excellent option too.
So basically your IFAC Gen 2 would control the bleeding or control the problem until a higher level of care got there, like BLS or ALS got to them and was able to carry on from there. It would give them that 8 minute window or 5 to 10 minute window for you guys to respond and get to them, basically.
And that's exactly why we do this is people get hurt all the time, and it's not just guns and bombs and knives. I mean, the last time I put a tourniquet on somebody as a medic was actually a car accident. And the time before that was a guy that was intoxicated and chopping wood and almost amputated his left hand. Neither one of those were on the battlefield. Neither one of them were in a combat setting. Those were everyday accidents that happen all the time. If you're catching the news now, even police officers, they're being given tourniquets, they're being given training. I've gotten to work with a lot of smaller agencies down here to help them out with that. And police officers a lot of times show up before the fire department does, just because there's more of them and they're usually on the road patrolling. Again, having the training and having the equipment can absolutely make a difference. You can absolutely save a life.
Okay, so for the listeners, how much is the basic IFAC you told us about, the one before the Gen 2? How much is that one on your site?
So that we call that the TACFAC, and that is $34.95.
Okay,
And that also comes with a nice heavy poly bag as well.
Nice. I was just going to ask how much the Gen 2 is, so we have a comparison on price and what they get for each thing.
Yeah, and then the Gen 2, which is the fully loaded IFAC, it starts at $114.95, and then it's another $12 for the decompression needle if they want that. And the cool thing about this one is that it comes in a waterproof, vacuum sealed zipper bag. So you can keep it as it is. You can put it in a cargo pocket or a backpack. I have people that have bought it and told me they put them on their boats, so they have a waterproof first aid kit. But if you have a pouch that you've bought already that you really like, you can just open the bag and put this into that pouch. Our first generation came with a Condor pouch, which I wasn't really happy with. And the feedback, we went with the Gen 2. By not including the pouch, it saved a lot of money for the purchaser. It dropped the price by about $30. And it gives gives the purchaser the freedom to do whatever they want with it. They can keep it in that poly bag, that nice thick waterproof bag, or they can put it into whatever pouch they like. I have one of mine loaded into I have a Spirita Systems chest rig, and then I have the subabdominal carry pouch, and I have this entire kit stuck into that.
Wow. So basically you carry the exact same stuff you sell.
Exactly. We are very passionate about what we do. Excuse me, I had a little cough there. Sorry about that. We're
no
very
worries.
Passionate about what we do. All of us that are teaching these classes are first responders. You've heard about myself. My wife is an Air Force flight medic.
Nice.
We have another EMT that teaches with us from time to time. So we're passionate about what we do. We want to give people good quality education with people that have a lot of experience in the field. We also are very careful about the products that we choose. We only choose to sell products that not only do we carry ourselves, but more importantly than that, are backed by real hard science. You know, as a clinician, everything I do is driven by science. So why would my business want to be done any different? You know, medicine is always changing. It's always evolving. But especially in this industry, there are some really scary products on the market, and I'm not going to badmouth any of them, but there are some very scary products on the market that are being marketed as life-saving tools that have no studies behind them, no research showing that they're effective. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, it saved someone's life this one time. Well, anecdotal evidence is not the same as a true research program and a true research study that can show a repeated success of that product. And that's, again, why we very carefully select the products that we include in our kits and the products that we sell in our store is, you know, we care about our customers. We care about everyday people. And, yes, we work with military guys. We work with law enforcement and first responder. But our real passion is getting the prepared citizen up to speed on medical preparedness. So we want to make sure that the products we sell are effective and safe and work.
So what about a chest seal? Do you recommend the Fox seal, the H&H seal, the hyphen? What or do you like all of those? What's your chest seal recommendation?
So for chest seals, there's two lines of thought in this. The newest tactical combat casualty care update that came out is now recommending the use of a vented chest seal.
Okay.
As a critical care provider, it's a little bit less of a big deal for me because more than likely if you have a pneumothorax or a hemothorax, like I said, we're going to just put a chest tube in and get you to a hospital. So for us, a lot of times we will just use, we're nice. We give you lidocaine and Tylenol. but a lot of times we will just use a regular occlusive dressing without a vent because our goal is to just plug the hole, stop it from getting worse, and then actually treat the problem. But those capabilities are certainly not available to the average person. So a vented chest seal is what I recommend for a citizen first responder. I do carry both vented and non-vented. We're updating the website this weekend. So the two non-vented seals I carry are the Halo chest seal and the H&H wound seal duo. These are both two packs. So it's got two seals in the package. So if you want a non-vented seal, so literally just a super adhesive dressing that you can cover a hole with, these are the ones we recommend. For the vented chest seals, I currently carry H-Vent. The H-Vent is H&H's new laminar vented chest seal, and I'm going to be picking up the Halo vented seal after the new year as well. And from personal experience, these are the products that I recommend. Again, there's a lot of science behind the adhesives that are used on these. I have real-world experience in using these. They're very well made. They're memory free. So if you have to fold them to fit it into an IFAC and unfold it, it's not going to crease up. It'll fold out and cover the defect in the chest just fine. The hyphen, you know, I personally have no experience with the hyphen or Fox seal, but I mean, at the end of the day, if the adhesive is good and it has a good vent, I see no problem with carrying those. I've seen a lot of good videos demonstrating how well the H-Vent from H&H and the hyphen from North American Rescue vent blood. That's one of the other problems is when that bullet goes in, sometimes it's not just letting air into the chest cavity. Sometimes it hits a big blood vessel and blood starts filling in the chest, and you got to clear that out somehow. So, you know, my personal recommendations are the Halo. If you're going for non-vented, the Halo and H&H wound seal. If you're going for vented, I recommend the Halo vented and the H&H H-Vent. Those are the ones we carry in the web store. And, again, it's because they're products we believe in, products that we have real-world experience in, and products with a lot of science behind them.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about your classes? We've got about, I'd say about 13 minutes left in our show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your classes, what you guys teach, and, you know, where they can find you so I can send people to you. Heck, I'd like to come down and take one at some point.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We'd love to have you. Our website has a lot of information about our classes. I unfortunately took a little bit of time off this year to focus on school, so we didn't teach that much this year. But in 2019, we've already got some stuff lined up. So I mentioned earlier we teach firearms classes, we teach medical classes, and we have some other kind of oddball stuff too. So on the firearms side of the house, we do NRA basic pistol. We're going to be doing NRA rifle after the new year. We also
nice.
Have a one-day pistol clinic that we teach. It's like a tactical pistol class, and we're finishing up development on a tactical rifle class. We do concealed weapons permit for anybody in Arizona. We do the Arizona CCW. We do a non-shooting and a shooting version of the class. It just depends on what students are looking for. And we're hoping to expand this a lot more. Now that I've got more free time, I'm done with school, and I've moved into my new job here. I have a lot more free time, so we want to add more firearm stuff for sure after the new year. Medical, my wife does all of our AHA stuff, so we do the Heart Saver CPR AED class. We also do the Heart Saver First Aid class. And we do the AHA BLS course. So for EMTs, paramedics, nurses, people that need the actual professional level of CPR, we teach that class as well.
Okay.
And then moving to the more austere medicine, tactical medicine, the area I'm really a lot more passionate about, we teach the bleeding control course. It's got a lot of names. Some people call it Stop the Bleed. Some people call it BCON, Bleeding Control for the Injured. They're all basically the same course. This is a 3-hour class that we teach. We love traveling for it. We like to go to gun stores, churches, whoever wants to host us. This is a pretty
Very
affordable
cool.
class. It's about $45. And in this class, students learn how to apply tourniquets. They learn how to apply a pressure bandage, and they learn how to do wound packing to control bleeding in areas that will not respond to a tourniquet. So tourniquets,
nice.
As much as I love them, they're not the end-all and say-all. What happens if you have a bleed in an armpit or in the groin where a tourniquet just can't get high enough up on there? That's where wound packing is a really important skill to learn, so this class covers that.
Sweet. Okay. Well, where can they find you, man? Wait. Where can they find you, man? I got to take a...
Real quick here, our big course, we have a 2-day class that includes that fully loaded IFAC I talked about earlier. It's 2 days of really intense training. We have live patients that help us out. We have really good special effects makeup we do. That's a 2-day course that we hold, and we got one coming up in March. You can check us out at archangeldynamics.com and also on Instagram at archangeldynamicsllc.
Nice.
We're on Facebook, but I'm not really that active there. So Instagram is probably the easiest way for your customers to get a hold of me. You can also email me at m, as in Mike, mfrancis@archangeldynamics.com.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate it. Looks like we've run out of time here. The thing said we had an hour left, but apparently not. So I guess we'll end it here. Miles, thank you so much for joining me tonight, man. And I think we're going to do a first aid kit episode next week, too. So I'd love to have you on again if you're available.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Let's get that organized.
All right, buddy. I'll see you next week. And thank you, Gunmetal team, for joining me. As always, we appreciate having you guys here. Don't forget to check out the shows coming up on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Don't forget to check them all out. We've got James's I Am Liberty. We've got the Family Affair with Jay Ferg. And we've got the Next Generation with my buddy Ryan. So check out those other shows. You're going to love them. And as always, thank you for joining us on the Gunmetal Armory. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on the Gunmetal Armory.
Today's broadcast has come to you through the courtesy of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. See our hosts, show schedules, archive programs, and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com. Thanks for listening.
Well, that was stupid. The thing said that we, the countdown thing said we had an hour left, and suddenly it goes 90 seconds left. And he's in the middle of describing where to find his classes. Freaking stupid. I freaking hope so, man.